to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it God's truth book. It's not a matter of political rhetoric or denominational dogma. It's based on what the Word of God says. As I have urged you each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, I believe everything that we see taking place locally, statewide, and nationally, globally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say in relationship to things like government? Who runs the government? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a verse in Proverbs 14, and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That word exalted means to lift up, to glorify. Righteousness means being right before God. The word reproach, says sin is a reproach. That's a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And we've been witnessing that for long enough, the last 10 years in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, when we find the results of what Merrick Garland was doing to the DOJ, what was taking place in the FBI, what had been taking place under the auto pen by Biden and his ilk, and we're seeing a little respite of light, if you will, in the current administration, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that as we see with the Donald Trump administration, it is being headed up by an individual that's a businessman that recognizes what needs to be done for America's protection and America's growth and development. But the major, major thing is that I'm seeing is some relief for the conservatives, for the Christians, for the patriots in America. And I believe that is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, who runs our government? Is the government to be run by the ones that we elect, civil leaders? Or is the government to be run by we the people? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you again, as we look at the issues, we look at the truth book, the Word of God. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, with that being said, I look at what the secularist George Orwell said. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And listen, if you've ever been in a dialogue or discussion with someone, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, societal, political, whatever area you're discussing, you will find invariably there will be those that will challenge your truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said for many, many years now, and may I repeat it at the risk of redundancy, we need to go back and analyze truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, a headline of just some time back, say he warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me give you one brief portion of Jim DeMint's statements. He said, and I quote, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that's precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. And I'm saddened to find, looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the Webster's Dictionary and you look up what is truth. It's the body of real things, real events, real facts, real actualities, the state of being, the case in fact. If we don't have an elemental, fundamental, foundational truth, we have no way to have a court system. We have no hope for America or any other nation around the globe. We need to go back to truth, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saddened when I see that so many of the younger generation today, in fact, one survey of just a little over a year ago said that 55% of the millennials believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement is this: each person determines their own version of truth. I believe we need to get back to the fundamentals of truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." Charlie Kirk did that. He was standing on truth. And because it was truth, and many people, and I grew up hearing my mother say, truth hurts. You tell the truth, and it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. You tell the truth, and if you tell the truth, it's going to hurt a Democrat's feelings, if nothing else. We find that is so factual, it's almost unreal in the society in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators, ladies and gentlemen. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. And ladies and gentlemen, just a moment after our brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and ask you to call in, have dialogue and discussion about the issue today. Who runs the government? When we elect someone and place them in office as a civil servant, do we the people lose our voices? Is it possible that we've devolved to the point in a constitutional republic today that we're devolving into a democracy where simply mob rules? We're witnessing something taking place in New York City, for example, with a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist running for mayor and looks like it's going to win the race. How did we devolve to that position? What causes one to think that somehow, some way, we need to have a socialist, a communist running for office and elect him? We need to be very, very careful who we cast our ballots for and who we put in office that's going to so-called rule over us. Because the mindset is today that once we elect a person, put them in office, we just simply become the puppets. They make the decision. We're to bow to it. And I'm here to tell you today, based on what we see on a global basis, especially a national basis in the United States of America, we're finding a greater and greater problem and difficulty with those trying to do what is right in office, as with Donald Trump and his cabinet. Let me just tuck this in. It comes to mind. Donald Trump is having part of the buildings taken down to put in a gigantic ballroom, as he puts it, a big, beautiful ballroom that's going to be built. You have the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that's all upset that he's destroying democracy. Pocahontas Warren has said that she's opening an investigation to find out what can be done to prosecute Trump, because surely those that are donating have donated about $300 million to pay for it with no tax money. Surely they must be getting something special behind the scenes, some kind of pro bono that is taking place as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the fundamental statement. when we elect the person or individuals and place them in office, we need to understand, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 in particular, that civil government was God's idea. Civil government was God's plan. Civil government is where God set up civil government to be God's servants. And as God's servants, civil government, being led by those that we elect and place in office, has the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, of being obedient to God first and for the citizens that elected them. It's government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and doesn't say anything about it in relationship to our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, that it is not our responsibility to head up and make a decision on who we want to lead us and how we want it to be carried out as a free people. God gave America a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. And ladies and gentlemen, I get a little weary when people talk about democracy. Democracy. Going to ruin our democracy. Well, God help us. We've not reached the devolution yet, where we have reached to the bottom of the bucket, call it a democracy. It's a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. And I'm thankful for that. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall the days of the auto pen Biden and the DOJ, parents in that era, parents that would go before the school board arguing against the pornography for textbooks and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda being promulgated in the classrooms, those parents were deemed to be domestic terrorists. They were to be dragged out of the meetings. Some of them were put in jail at least overnight as a result of that. They were called domestic terrorists. Parents were shut out, sometimes locked up. Ladies and gentlemen, that all they were doing, exercising their constitutional liberties. Today, we the people appear to still have some serious, serious problems with allowing parents the freedom to vote in opposition to and challenge anybody on the school board, for example, with what they're doing with the pornography being used and called textbooks. I'm adamantly opposed to that, and I'm thankful that in Duval County we have several of our school board members today that stand for truth, stand for godly order, stand for that which is conservative and righteous in our school classrooms and in our school system. Listen, perhaps you know in Lowndes County in Virginia, perhaps you've heard what's happening. The school board there is simply refusing to hear the people, refusing to stop the allowing males into the females' locker rooms, bathrooms, shower rooms, etc., etc. Let me just read you an article. Sick of it, the headline says. Fed up students take drastic action to stop trans-loving lunatics on the school board. Now, perhaps you didn't get all of those. Let me read that again. Sick of it. Fed-up students take drastic action to stop trans-loving lunatics on the school board. It was dated October the 21st, 2025. This article reads, officials in Lowndes County, Virginia, school district have had a long history of promoting the LGBTQ ideologies. In fact, it has gone so far that students, unhappy with board members who decline to believe there's a difference between boys and girls, refuse to protect vulnerable students in private areas like restrooms, shower rooms, and classrooms, are resorting to democracy to try to change it. They're encouraging voters to choose candidates who, in fact, would not force girls to share their showers, bathrooms, dressing rooms with boys, and vice versa. In a commentary, it says, boom, Virginia teens take matters into their own hands to stop school board trans lunacy. What do the Lowndes County, Virginia teenagers do when their school board ignores their concerns about males and females' spaces and sports? Believe it or not, they don't just get on TikTok and complain about it. Nope, that's not it. They take matters in their own hands, and they go to the polls asking voters to support school board members who will restore girls-only and boys-only sports and spaces. Pretty cool, this writer says. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just isolated to places like Virginia and school districts as in Lowndes County. It is something that is taking place in school board after school board across the nation. This is the reason today, as we face the issues, we have a very special guest. Holly Dean is with us today. She's Secretary of the Republican Party of Duval County. She's going to be with us to discuss some very crucial areas that should be of interest to you, our listener. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, let me tuck this in once again. In just a moment, we'll open the telephone lines and ask you to call in. Ask Holly some questions, joining the dialogue and discussion that we're going to be having today about the Duval County School Board. What's taking place? What has happened? Where do we go? How do we respond to what we see happening in Duval County? Holly, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us and talk about this very serious issue. Holly, first of all, if you would, take a moment, introduce yourself to our listeners, and tell us something about who you are, what you are, what you're doing, and why you have a passion for these things.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it. I first and foremost will tell everyone I'm a mom because that's my most important Amen. Job. I have a 14-year-old son, and he's the reason I've become so passionate in politics after the masking in schools. I think that opened up a lot of parents' eyes. It certainly opened up mine. Mm-hmm. I'd had my issues with the Duval County School Board before that, but that really got me involved, and I started paying more attention. But I was chapter chair of Moms for Liberty Duval for a year during the last school board election, mm-hmm. Where we got a conservative majority. And then I ran for secretary of the Duval County Republican Party, and I'm interested in been doing that for about a year now, and I'm interested in getting conservative candidates help and getting them elected.
Mm-hmm. That's a enormous task.
It certainly is these days.
Sometimes I say when it's trying to line up and get everybody basically on one sheet of music, it's like trying to get a group of long-tailed cats in a room full of rocking chairs to handle the situation. I have attended a number of meetings years ago in relationship to the candidates and the candidate forums and what was said and done. In fact, for years and years and years, we would have in our church what we call the Candidate Sundays, where we would have all of the candidates, all that we invited, candidates to come and share from the pulpit their testimony about relationship to Jesus, why they're running, and what they need to want to accomplish if elected. And that's the thing that I always look forward to. It's the reason I'm passionate as you about political issues. And Holly, I've said, as we were having conversation before the broadcast today, and I've said this many times, most of those that know me well, I'm passionate about politics and the way we elect people, because there are a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that shy away from that. And I believe, Holly, today, the problem that we're faced with, the declension that we're faced with, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, and politically, goes back to the doorsteps of our churches. Because I believe, Holly, that for the past 50 to 60 years, pastors have been hiding under the bed, hiding in the closet, afraid to talk about political issues, afraid that somehow, some way, they might hurt the feelings. I had a number of years ago, I had one of our men, he's with the Lord now, but we were doing some work out on the grounds, and we were having lunch together. He said, "Pastor, do we have any Democrats in our church?" I said, "God, I hope not." But we need to recognize the need to focus on what the Word of God says. If we would eliminate anything that's called politics within the realm of the church, we'd have to eliminate half of the Old Testament writers, the Old Testament candidate, Old Testament people, and the patriots that were found there, because they were involved in what we call today politics. God called it civil government. So, Holly, tell our listeners about what kinds of personal attacks on conservative board members you're aware of, and what's taking place in relationship to those personal attacks on the school board members.
Yes. Ever since the conservative majority has won, mm-hmm. there have been so many attacks on them. Every school board meeting during public comment, they are attacked. They're name called. They've been called Nazis, KKK members. They scream and yell at them. They interrupt them in the middle of proceedings and have to be escorted out by law enforcement. They've emailed them. They start email campaigns, emailing them hateful things. And talking to some of them after some of these board meetings, they're worn out emotionally.
I can see why.
Beat down, you know, when you're hearing that all during a meeting. And so it's very concerning how they're being treated as public officials, and there's no proper civil discourse whatsoever. It's broken down.
Well, Holly, maybe this is because I have a lack of knowledge in this particular nuanced area, but I know if you're in a city council meeting, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to speak publicly against a certain city council member. You're not allowed to call that city council member's name and have derogatory things said, or you're taken out. Do they not have that kind of rule and regulation or guideline in the school board?
There are some rules about each board sets their own policies as far as public comment is concerned. Technically, they're not supposed to say their name. Most of the time, people know who they're talking about. And they kind of find a way to get around that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. It is sad the way this country and the young people are just as stupid as the Democrats. Because they think if we turn into a socialist society, we will have a utopia. But there ain't no way in God's green earth we're going to have a utopia. Being a socialist. And it's just like, I think the guy's name was Jones in Virginia, that says his opponent of Republicans need two shots to the head and his family killed.
We've denigrated to a pretty low level in America when it comes to the political rhetoric and the political dialogue and discussion. It's no longer a level field for dialogue and discussion. It seems like the socialist, Marxist, communist left seem to have the mindset that they can make open threats, they can have dialogue, whether in person, on TikTok, or on social media, threatening lives, and somehow, some way, that's okay. Some way it's okay to assassinate a person that's talking about spiritual things, moral things, ethical things, and political things on a conservative level. Today, Kenneth, we're finding that if it is conservative political speech, it is viewed as not being free speech, but speech that must be controlled by the left. That's the problem we're faced with, and that's what we're seeing taking place on an exponential basis across the nation, and especially what we see culminating now with the socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic, jihadist that's about to lead the race and be elected mayor in New York City. So, Kenneth, it deserves our recognition.
Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead, yes.
If a Republican would have said that, man, the country would have been on fire.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It is all for me and not for thee is the mindset within the Marxist Communist Democratic Party, and I'm adamantly opposed to it. So you're exactly right. But Kenneth, brother, thank you so much. Demands our prayer, our attention, and we need to continue to look up and recognize what God is doing. Thank you so much for your call. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I would like to comment on the New York race for mayor. Every Republican is warning us about Mamdani getting elected, but they fail to endorse Sliwa. So by not endorsing Sliwa, they're endorsing Cuomo. Mm-hmm. Even Trump is wrong with this. Trump has not endorsed Sliwa. Now, who endorses Sliwa? Rudy Giuliani. Who could be a better endorsement than Giuliani? So Sliwa might not be perfect, but why didn't another Republican run? He's the only Republican, so everybody in the Republican Party should endorse Sliwa. Hakeem Jeffries from the Democrat side has endorsed Mamdani, but Johnson has not done it. So why not? I hate whatever they're doing. Now, if Mamdani gets elected, well, so be it. Then New York will suffer for electing a communist and a Muslim. And then 4 years from now, he'll ruin the city. And 4 years from now, we'll fix it with a Republican getting elected mayor of New York again.
Well, Derby, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. And I will make a statement and see if Holly wants to comment on it. But what we see with Sliwa, what has he got now? 13-14% out of the three people race. I've never understood the mindset. I've had it right here in Duval County, where I would talk to a group about a candidate. He needs to be the candidate, needs to be the one running. We need to stand with him. They said, well, no, he doesn't have a chance. We can't sponsor him. We can't back him. I'm in total disagreement with that. If the person is of the party and the political, stand that we have, moral, ethical stand that we adhere to, then we need to stand behind that person, even though the odds may look as though he or she has no opportunity or no chance. I believe that's the problem within the realm of the Republican Party today, as much as anything else, as I see it. Now, Holly, what do you say to my statement on that, or to what Derby is saying?
Since I've joined the REC as secretary, sometimes endorsements, and this is just another perspective, sometimes endorsements may hurt someone depending on who that endorsement is from. Mm-hmm. In New York, I don't necessarily know if President Trump's endorsement would help him or not. But maybe that's what they're looking at is all I can speculate.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing with Mamdani, he is openly, publicly saying that when he's elected, he will be against President Trump in every phase and facet. Mm-hmm. Totally 100% against him. So, Derby, I'm with you. I'm in a dilemma in my own mind, conflicted, why President Trump hasn't taken a stand. Because, let's face it, what other choice do we have from the standpoint conservative, Christian, patriotic candidate? Because Sliwa he's a New Yorker, been there talking about standing for right and standing for righteousness for, 40 years there in the city? So I believe that would be the right choice. But that's the thing that's always dilemmified me within the realm of conservatives. Conservatives, generally speaking, will not stand for each other. You can take a liberal, and it doesn't make any difference how wretched his record may be, the liberals will stand with him. But when it comes to the conservatives, if there's any little splinter in any fashion that's not right in line with everybody else's thinking, it's no, we're not going to stand with him. Let him just fall by the wayside, and we'll put a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist in office. And so I'm in agreement with you. That needs to change dramatically, in my opinion. But Derby, thank you so much. We need to be in serious prayer, by the way, about this election in New York. Some might think, well, it doesn't affect us, but it does.
Let me give you one closing point. I am calling on the Duval County REC to strongly endorse Sliwa. If they don't, there's no reason to respect the REC in Duval County, period. Well,
Derby, I'm praying they'll take a stand in that direction. Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today who runs our government. Do we the people? Is government still for the people, of the people, by the people? Or is it something that once we elect a candidate, they go in office and they make all the decisions and we have no voice in it whatsoever? We're talking with Holly Dean today. Holly is the secretary for the Duval County Republican Party. And we're looking forward to what you will ask and you will say during the course of the broadcast today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in just a moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.